Nation Talk Radio 790 KABC. Happy Friday. We are here live in the Attorney Suite James studios. Still deep behind the orange curtain, which, by the way, today I think was probably a safer place to be. A lot of wind in LA County. They said we were going to have some down here, too. Maybe in some spots, but we are safe, safe from the storm, and I hope you all are as well. All right, we made it. I always say this on Friday. It's a long week for most of us. Some of us, of course, the week just barely beginning. No, there are different shifts. So if your week is just beginning, Godspeed. And if it's ending, have a great weekend and all that good stuff. Now, tomorrow will be the anniversary, the milestone of Trump's first 100 days. And there is a lot of talk about what that means. Now, the 100-day thing goes back in time, and it's arbitrary. The idea behind the first 100 days is, do you kind of know a little bit about where it came from? The idea is that a president has a honeymoon period. Well, they say that your honeymoon, when you and your significant other are married and have a honeymoon, go on a honeymoon, that is the most blissful time in your relationship. I personally found that to not be the case, but I will not go into details. I think Trump feels a lot like I did. In other words, you cannot disagree with me when I tell you that Trump has had anything but a honeymoon period here in his first 100 days of his presidency. And it refers to this certain amount of kindness and forgiveness permissiveness. Yes, with the media allowing, being tolerant. There, I said the word. I didn't want to. I was choking up over it. Tolerant of a new president. The exact opposite of this, I guess, opposition to Trump that he has from every corner of the press, with the exception of a few media outlets and intrepid true journalists. What is negative? Negative stories, 90% to 10% positive, 90-10. You rewind the clock 8 years. You go back to the first 100 days of Barack Obama's illustrious presidency. I mean, you would have thought that the Sun King himself had stepped down from the heavens from a brilliant crystal staircase. A choir of angels singing, strumming harps, unicorns crapping rainbows, whatever it is, whatever picture you want to put in your mind. That was what the press was writing about Obama. And for those of us who were suspicious of the new president, who saw him as an empty bag of hot air, we're looking at this going, God, have you checked your journalism at the door? Not a question, not a query, not, you know, but maybe we ought to look at this. And forget the journalists for a minute. Let's put the press off to the side. Congress, believe it or not, there were some Republicans in Congress at the time. And, opposition to President Obama? Nothing. It was meager. It was anemic. Zip. And do you know why? Primarily. It's what I said yesterday. I mean, Republicans are afraid of their own shadow. And so with this overwhelming amount of positive media attention on Obama, and you remember the narrative, I don't want to get accused of saying something untoward. But you know, the narrative was Obama's black. He's the first black president. We got to give him a chance. And any significant or even minor criticism of Obama at the time from certain corners of the media would elicit a response something along the lines of, you're a racist. How dare you oppose this president? You know, there was a popular conservative commentator who in the early days of the Obama presidency declared that he did not wish that the president succeed. Well, because that was the big mantra at the time. Everybody said, we've got to come together as a country and we want our president to succeed. Okay? So he came out and I think brilliantly said, I don't want him to succeed. Why would I want him to succeed? Everything he stands for is the opposite of what I want to see this country be. Why the hell would I want him to succeed? And the response from the media, if you are an astute observer of the political world as I am, even a casual observer, you remember this. All hell broke loose. I mean, of course, I mean, that was a very racist thing to say. You cannot wanting the first black president to fail. Who are you, Satan? So there it is. How many times have you heard from the press, from mainstream media, from so-called rational persons professionally involved in the commentating on political affairs? How many times have you heard them saying words like resist? Or, I don't know, let's say opposition. Or stop this president at all costs. See, and nobody thinks anything of it. Because many of these people have bought into the ridiculous narrative that Trump is the second coming of Adolf Hitler. I am telling you, my dad was born in 1941 in the German occupation of Czechoslovakia. You have to understand, for true victims of the Nazi regime, comparing Trump to Hitler is so patently absurd. It's actually, I mean, it's diminishing to the true evil that the Nazi regime was. It's a small aside. I can't believe I have to make that point. The very premise of the argument is ridiculous. But what it does is it creates an environment where abuse, where playing loose with the facts, reporting opinion, where opinion shouldn't be broadcast. Reading the front page of the New York Times, great example of it today, talking about the Trump tax plan. And a very, I think, third or fourth sentence is it, a little aside, a tax plan that would benefit Mr. Trump personally. It's not an opinion piece. I don't care. It's going to affect me personally. I can tell you that. It's going to affect you personally. It's not just tax cuts. It's tax reform. You like filling out all those pages on your tax return? You like all that paper? I mean, God, my accountant comes over with when it's tax time. I mean, my eyes glaze over. And I operate in the business world and have for years. You think that this enormous tax bureaucracy, you know, when I talked to you when I was over in New York, I mentioned how the tax code has ballooned from some 400 pages originally to, what was it? Is it now 74,000? Something like that? No, there is no objective analysis. I mean, No. And this is an interesting thing because it's a small example how they report on this tax plan. It's going to benefit the rich. It's going to benefit corporations. It's going to benefit. This is self-serving. This is OK. I got to tell you, whenever you tax productivity, whenever you tax wealth, it's bad. There is a balance. The government must live. The government must pay for the things that it must pay for. But on the flip side of it, businesses and individuals must have as much of their money as possible to freely spend. Because I don't know if you took econ, maybe you took it with that philosophy professor up at Diablo College who's cracking people on the heads at Berkeley. But I'm telling you right now, the way the economy works is when, I'm going to let you know, here's a secret. When individuals spend money, that's how that works. And there's no analysis of this in the New York Times. There's no analysis of this in the Washington Post. And you compare that to the fawning articles about Obamacare when it was in the midst of being worked out in the dungeons of Nancy Pelosi's lair. Well, you're going to have to pass this to see what's in it. And the media goes, oh, that's wonderful. That's so wonderful. Oh, yes, yes, yes. I love it. I love it. And now Trump gets out there and says, yeah, here's the plan. We're going to reduce this document from 20 pages down to one page. We're going to cut these three back tax brackets down to here. We're going to double the family deduction. We're going to do away with this, this, and that. And the criticism is, where are the details? Where are the details? This is ill-conceived. This is terrible. This is horrible. I mean, for Pete's sake, you were around 8 years ago. You know what I'm talking about. So when we talk about the first 100 days, you've got to understand the first 100 days is supposed to be this period where the president accomplishes great things because he's got a honeymoon going on. The media is saying, hey, all right, let's see what you got, pal. And it's considered to be a direct contrast to later on in a president's tenure, especially if he's in, say, a second term. And where, you know, the press already has gotten very comfortable with beating him up. And I would argue that actually that phase of the presidency never happened for Obama. Which, you know, is what it is. But if you look at what's happened in the last 100 days, taking into consideration the tremendous opposition from not just the press, also from the opposition party, the Democrats, and even from leadership and rank and file members of his own party, I think Trump's doing pretty well. He got Neil Gorsuch through. It's a great coup. Do you know what the stock market has gained, by the way? This is important because this is the valuation of our economy, right? It's like kind of like what, how much is my house worth? It's an important thing. If you own a home, you care about that. And, you know, when the economy's not doing great, your house might, you know, be sliding and you're going, oh, there goes my nest egg. Crap. Well, this is the value of our economy. Okay. Since Trump was elected, $2 trillion plus, it's not insignificant. The S&P broke 20 trillion. Okay. First time ever. What else we got? Housing sales are rocketing. Manufacturing index is set a 33-year high. Illegal immigration is down 67%. See, and you know what? That's with the wall not getting built. That's with these executive orders getting knocked down. That's with all of these crucial parts of the Trump agenda getting swatted down in a substantial headwind, or by a substantial headwind, I should say. President Trump, think jobs, 298,000 jobs in his first month alone, jobs that Obama said would never come back. And NATO allies, they've announced that they're going to pony up to $10 billion more than they did in the past. What do you hear about that? Did you hear that anywhere in the media? No. You just heard that Trump changed his mind on NATO. That he's a weasel. That he's a promise breaker. And that's the story that they run with. Look, I'm encouraged. And I promised you I'd hold the man's feet to the fire as we went through this. But I'm encouraged and I'm honestly impressed. All right, back right after this.
Talk radio. 790 KABC.
This portion of our show is brought to you by the only attorney we trust, Sweet James Bergner. And here we are, Sam Nation, Sam Rojofsky, coming back to you regarding the Trump first 100 days. Actually, today, Trump announced, or at least the White House announced, that the State Department would be planning, proposing cuts of up to 9% of its workforce. So any little bit of trimming around the thicket of the deep state is great news and music to my ear. I told you, I've been impressed. And, you know, every Republican campaigns on cutting government. And then what happens? Every Republican grows the government. When you get inside the government, you start to enjoy the government. You start to see, oh, we need to do this. Oh, we need to do that. We need to react. We need to keep the people safe. I mean, the bureaucracy under George W. Bush swelled. I mean, payrolls were up. I forget what the percentage was, but I mean, it was a significant increase, federal payrolls. Now, I'm also talking about this tremendous headwind, right? When you factor Trump's successes, you've got to say, all right, now these successes are happening in spite of the fact that he has all this opposition. And one thing that I commonly hear from people is say, well, okay, well, Sam, the guy isn't capable. If he was capable, he could get these things done. And I say to that, well, that's a great, interesting theory you have there, my friend. That is a little John McCain nod. Great thing there, my friend. But you're wrong. You cannot compare the first 100 days of a Trump presidency to the first 100 days of an Obama presidency where there was virtually all good press, because members of Congress, the people you need to get things done for you, the people you need to push through legislation, the people you need to be on your side, or at least the people who you need to play dead. I mean, hell, I think Trump at this point would take a bunch of, you know, roll over and play dead congressmen to this troop of opposers and resistors. But those people are influenced by the media. If you think that they aren't, you're dead wrong. Members of Congress are scared, for the most part, many of them, scared of their own shadow. Members of Congress, congressmen, they get reelected every 2 years. The two-year election cycle in Congress guarantees that congressmen are in perpetual campaign mode. And there's two people, if you're, let's say, a Republican in Congress, there are two people you need on your, well, I said two people, two entities that you need on your side. It's not good if you've got bad press all the time, because that's a problem. It encourages people to come up and challenge you in the primary, challenge you in your district. The other thing you also need is you need Daddy Warbucks, Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan, to like you. If Paul Ryan and the House leadership doesn't like you, guess what happens? That's right. They cut up your credit card. They withhold funding for your next election. And it's not like you're a senator where you got an election every 6 years. So you get elected and then you can kind of not worry about it for, 4 or 5 years. every 2 years. So these congressmen that are causing all these problems, that are they're resisting, both Republicans and Democrats, because the Democratic ones are fundraising off of this resistance, right? They're not going to get reelected if they're helping Trump. That's the kiss of death. If you're a Democrat in a Democratic district and you are helping Trump, that's it. You're done. And it's all about the money. Trust me. It costs money to get elected to Congress. It don't come cheap. So you've got to play the game. And when you have even Paul Ryan, Republican leader of the House, and you've got him opposing Trump on many things, and have him obstructing the Trump agenda. See how it gets complicated? So yeah, color me impressed. In spite of all of this, still getting stuff done. All right, John Wolf, my friend, up with the news next. Back right after this.
Talk Radio, Talk Radio. 790 KABC.
Sam Rajofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC, live from the Sweet James Studios, deep behind the orange curtain. Here we go. Let me tell you, part of this entire opposition to Trump is going to result. There will be consequences of it. And unfortunately for the biggest resistors out there, namely our good friends in the mainstream media, we're going to find that some of the consequences here are not going to, they're not going to be borne by Mr. Trump. They will be borne by you, the nitwits in the media who continue to editorialize on the front pages of your newspapers. Now, what do I mean by this? There are some whisperings right now, because you know this whole Fox News thing, the whole background in it. I mean, Fox News, from total obscurity, it becomes this pirate ship in a sea, really a sea of liberal leftist opinion journalism, becomes this renegade of conservative opinion journalism. And you know what suddenly happened? All these people are watching Fox. Now, if you listen to the pundits, they say, oh, they're watching Fox because it's slick and because they've got really hot babes. Right? I mean, you got good looking people. Anyway, but you've heard about the lawsuits. Anyway, that's not going there. But I'm saying it. There are all these explanations of why Fox is so successful. And I got one to add to that, Sherlock. Maybe people are listening to Fox because they like what they hear. Now, when this whole controversy broke out with Bill O'Reilly, you know, I told you the network has a right to do what it's going to do. I can see their logic in it. And I also don't think it's my place, really, to tell Fox what they ought and ought not be doing. They're a private company. Sure, they want to become CNN Lite. Do it. But I also instinctively know that those eyeballs, Bill O'Reilly had 4 million viewers every night. Those people are going to want to go somewhere. And after, I think, a week of looking at Tucker, he's doing okay. But you got Bill's a guy who's been doing this for so long. If you look at a clip of Bill O'Reilly 10 years ago, so much better now. And remember, he's 67. So it's not like his career's over. He's not Mr. Retirement. I mean, he wants to be in the game. And so now there are these rumblings that a new conservative network might be in the talks, in the mix, and that big players, probably players like Roger Ailes, Bill O'Reilly, and others are considering, you know, jumping in. And where this fits into this whole resist Trump and crazy and everything, this is the sons, Rupert Murdoch's boys, Twiddledee and Twiddledum. See, they think, they believe, they live in the world. They live in the bubble. These boys, born billionaires. They're not scrappy like their pops who, you know, put the whole thing together, you know, just with their sheer balls and grit. But what happened is you've got these two boys that grew up in the bubble, that grew up in a tremendous place of privilege, grew up very left wing, right? And I'm telling you, and they think that their view of the world is reality. And it's not. That's what the media has been doing wrong. So this is how the marketplace works. Fox News, if it has a significant challenger, trust me, the Fox News unit will suffer tremendously. I'll give you an example. I'll tell you how the math adds up. But hang in there. We're back right after this.
Talk radio.
790 KABC. Friends, I'm back explaining to you why things are gonna go south for some people in the media. Some people want to be misinformed. That's true. That's true. But for many people out there who are watching the news and are getting editorialism, where they expect journalism, after a while, if it doesn't ring true, it's not going to do anything to help that relationship between the reader, the listener, the viewer, and whatever media they're consuming and whatever media outlet is putting that out. Look. Okay, give you an example. They can say the New York Times can write terrible, terrible things about Trump. But what if Trump really begins to succeed? This could be like a Reagan moment. You know, this happened. This has happened before. Reagan was such a great communicator, one. And two, his agenda really did make this country stronger. Really did improve the economy, and people could tangibly feel and see that. So people started reading the New York Times and going, okay, this is horse crap. And that was it wasn't the internet. That was the beginning of the end of the storied era of big newspapers and big channels. ABC, CBS, Walter Cronkite. People had enough, and they started to tune into talk radio, and then came the internet, and done. Remember, it's about money. This is what no one likes to talk about. It's a dirty word, but I'm going to talk about it because at the end of the day, it's what makes the world go round. If you are out there and you miss Bill O'Reilly, I think there's a great chance he's coming back somewhere. And if you're pissed at Fox News, don't watch Fox News again. Turn your TV on, set the channel to Fox, put it on mute, and run it, you know, whatever that new channel is, right, that has Bill O'Reilly on it, just play it round the clock so they get the ratings. Because there are people out there right now with money, I promise you this, people that have billions to spend, who might be conservatively inclined, but are so profit-minded. And they look at a guy like Bill. If the media thinks Bill O'Reilly's toxic. Right. Let me tell you. Okay. There's a guy who was getting 4 million viewers a night. So he goes to a new network. Oh, but that was after the news broke that he did all that terrible stuff, right? He's going to go to a new network. Okay, he's not going to get 4 million a night, but he might get 2 pretty quickly. Do you know what kind of money is involved in that equation? See, I will tell you right now, billionaires with a B will put billions into this, certainly hundreds of millions. just on a network that is anchored, that is built around O'Reilly. And they'll get other people to go over there. You bet they will. Hannity's already talking about it too, right? We heard those rumblings earlier in the week. And you're going to tell me now, but they're not going to get advertisers, Sam. They're not going to get people to go. They're Bill O'Reilly will have people watching, but no one paying. All right. They're going to change their model. This is how economies work. You adjust. You're flexible. You're reading the HuffPo. That's what it is. This is HuffPo logic. Because I'll tell you what will happen. All right. So blue chip companies like Mercedes-Benz and BMW won't advertise. Okay. Big whoop-de-doo. You know what they're going to have on there? Reverse mortgages. Big industry right now, right? I just told you, housing prices up and away. People hawking gold coins, silver coins, cruises. Look, they're hot chocolate, Swiss Miss. But they probably won't let her go in the studio, right? We wouldn't want Bill to do anything untoward. All right, I'm just telling you, it's the money. It's going to happen. And it may end up being Fox's loss. All right, back right after this, having more fun than I should be even having.
Talk Radio, Talk Radio. 790 KABC.
You know when I told you about all these trees flying around? Well, you know, I mean, you're probably seen it today on the road. People start doing crazy things. They see branches. The car is swaying from side to side. I was talking to somebody who had such a huge wind gust that she had trouble keeping her car in her lane. So accidents are happening out there on the road. And what you need to know is that you have a friend if anything goes wrong. And his name is Sweet James Bergner, the attorney we trust here on the program to help you get through your most difficult moments. Now, the most important thing I can tell you about the entire process of what to do if you've been in an accident, if you've been injured, is don't talk to anyone on the other side. You know, you get their information and then just say, hey, I'll call you back. And then you don't call them back. You have your attorney call them back because anything the insurance company does and says and asks you for is done in a deliberate attempt to save the money, not to help you. Everyone that is in this type of situation deserves a free consultation with a good lawyer. And in this case, if you call Sweet James Bergner, you'll get a great lawyer and a free consultation. And remember, no recovery, no fee. So you only pay James if he wins your case and gets you money. 800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021 is the number 24/7. Call James anytime. And if you don't want to do that, you can also go on his website, make contact there. SweetJames.com. All right, Sam Nation, we're back behind the microphone. Talking a little bit about the intersection of politics and media, more like a head-on collision, speaking of Sweet James. This is interesting. It is fascinating to me to watch Trump's first 100 days unfold against such a tremendous opposition from the press. And I mentioned to you last segment before, where you'll have an interesting thing happen where these media sources that are editorializing and that have become so devotedly anti-Trump that they start to lose their audiences. Do you remember that poll from Fox News back in March, early March? And the finding in the poll, surprise, surprise, was that a majority of Americans say move on from protesting Trump. And over half, 53%, said it's time to move on. That's not an insignificant number. The ESPN thing falls into it. I'm not a sports guy. people that go and want to see sports, what do they, when they want to talk sports, what is it? It's supposed to be an escape from politics. They go and they catch up on the sports. And by the way, people who love sports, they love America generally, right? They go to baseball games, American flag, national anthem, the whole nine yards. That's what it's all about. So I saw this article yesterday. ESPN publishes a poetry tribute to Asada Shakur, who's the fugitive cop killer. She's on the FBI's 100 most wanted or 10 most wanted now, I think. She escaped from jail, moved to Cuba, devoted comments. See, this is the kind of tone-deaf stuff that's getting ESPN into trouble. Trust me on this. Media, the business of media, it's a delicate ecosystem. You have to maintain the trust and a connection with your audience. And you can lose that connection if you go too far out into some, you know, wacky land. And that goes for all this Trump protesting, too. So, have a great weekend. I will see you back here 7 p.m. Monday night. Have a great one.
Can't stop addicted to the shindig. Chop top, it says I'm gonna win big. Choose not to life of imitation. Distant.